Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Patriot Family Chat, and we have Bill Strong on the line. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Didn't know if Hollis was going to show up or not, so here we are.
Well, if he shows up, he can just jump right in.
Yeah.
Just want to say a big hello to America today. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I've had a lot on my mind today as I've been looking around the internet at news posts and people's blogs and looking at everything everybody is fighting. And I come to a slight realization, and you know, you can jump in and tell me you think I'm off track, but we're fighting education. Some are fighting education, the whole education department. Some are fighting the FDA and that stuff. Some's fighting the EPA. Some's fighting a small arms treaty, illegal immigration. And the thing is, while we're fighting all these different fronts at the same time, we're not united in fighting what is really behind every one of these fronts. Instead, we are spread out. And some are fighting this and some are fighting that instead of being united together fighting one thing. And I kind of wonder if that's not how they really want us, is everybody spread out and fighting all different things. And as you know, Linda, and as I know, that every one of these things that you're fighting are all linked together under one thing. And if we were all to come together and fight that one thing, then we might see a front so massive and so overwhelming that neither party could stand in its wake.
Well, here's what my take. I had a very good meeting today with the mayor. Unfortunately, Esther couldn't make it, but her aide was there. She was taking notes, and the mayor was very attentive. And you know, he's aware of this, and he understands what NDAG is, which is all part of this, the green nonsense, and that's the kind of the rail system it's like a public-private partnership, and you got to keep your eye on them. But I came away with the sense that if I just, what I have figured out now is that the only way to combat this is for me to tell every single citizen in the state of California, one person at a time, 10 people at a time, about A21. It's the only thing that's going to make a difference, because that once you get that number of people coming down on these guys' heads, they have to listen, Bill. That's the only way.
Well, see, you're doing exactly what I'm saying, Linda. You are attacking the thing that everything is enveloped under. And until Americans wake up and realize all these little objects out here, all these different things that you're fighting are all linked. They all come right back. Well, and instead of fighting the little packs of things that they got all the diversionary tactics and all the media and all this and that, go after the thing that everything is involved with, that is the center of everything.
Right.
Go after, if it was a human and you were fighting, you would go after the brain. Well,
right.
That's what you got to do here. You've got to go after the brain. And the brain is those behind you in Agenda 21 and Agenda 21, which
right.
You and I both know is nothing but a blueprint for global elitist control over the masses.
Well,
and all the earth.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, they've been wanting this for a long time, and they're darn close to getting it. Now, the good news is, because I just finished watching Beck a little bit ago, and it looks like Ted Cruz in Texas may beat Dewhurst, which I'm praying for, because he's the only senatorial candidate I've ever heard on national radio on Glenn Beck's show talk about Agenda 21, the only one. So if the state of Alabama and that governor can...
Well, there's countries. There's even countries. If you look at the Rio Conference, there's even countries against Agenda 21 now.
Right. So if we've got one
and
state of Alabama...
They cannot deny it. They like to deny it, but just like they try to deny the truth about global warming.
Right.
The man don't have a damn thing to do with it.
So, I know. Oh, every time I hear him say that, I want to throw up. That's why I kind of totally agree on one part, especially on Romney, that Ron was talking about yesterday, that he doesn't trust the man, and I don't either. I think he's a flip-flopper. I think he always has been. I don't know what his true colors are on all this stuff, but I'm pretty sure he's a rhino. However, if Ted Cruz gets in and he starts bringing national attention on the Senate floor to this evil Agenda 21, which I think he will do, that's a good thing. And I'm getting ready to compose a letter to the governor of Alabama, and I'm going to point blank ask him. It's going to be a snail mail letter, because I didn't get any response from my email to him. So I'm giving a snail mail letter, and I'm going to say, how did you do this? Please tell me, because I need to inform my local city councils about this. And the other thing I heard, too, and I kept looking for the story. I went to Drudge. I went to The Blaze. I went everywhere. Couldn't find it, so I'll have to go back to the archives of the Mike Slater Show, because there was a brief mention of what's coming down the pike. These idiots, you know, the next housing bubble is going to be horrible, because they're, instead of putting the gun to the heads of the banks, I mean, they may do that again through, you know, because good old Barney Frank and the rest of these idiots are trying to recreate the same damn thing they did last time, which hit us hard in 07 and 08. And what they're going to do now is they're going to monkey around with the, you know, those three big credit reporting agencies like Experian and Equifax and all those guys, that they want to monkey with it so that the credit of each person that is a minority or a poor person actually looks like a high credit score. That's what their next plan is, and I can't find the story, but I'll research it. So isn't that special?
That goes right into, like, their plan at the school children, where it's okay for minorities to be so unruly, you have to give them a pass, but you can't give the majority kids a pass.
Well, it's crazy. I mean,
it's creating chaos. Exactly what they want. Unrest and chaos.
Right.
Keep the country and the culture disrupted. Destroy the culture as easily as, and it's been easy for them. They've been doing it. They do it with illegal immigration. They do it with Muslims. They do it with others.
Had they've had a lot of the uprisings with the, like I told you about the Hispanics and the La Raza in Anaheim. Now, these are, thank God, small factions, and I think that it's quieted down because the police are doing their jobs. But, you know, and what Glenn said a couple of days ago was he thought that they're trying to, you know, incite these chaos, and once the financial meltdown hits and things go awry, or, you know, after the elections and one side or the other is going to be, you know, ticked off and they're going to take to the streets, well, what he said was, and I'm praying that he's correct, that these are small numbers of people and that the majority of us out here, the good Christians, are not going to go out in the streets and, you know, act like we're going to have a French Revolution. We're not going to do that. So hopefully...
We know they are looking for an excuse to enact martial law. We're not going to give it to them. But in the same token, we cannot sit back forever.
No.
And here's the problem. As you mentioned Romney and your opinion of Romney, I kind of have the same opinion of Romney. I'm an independent, so I'm not tied down to the GOP or their establishment.
Right.
Or the establishment of the Democratic Party. To me, they're both the same. They are both working on an agenda for total control over all of us. They are all corrupt. They're all self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
Very few that aren't, well, they're going to be attacked. I read an article today where the left is deemed, they're so afraid of Alan West because they're afraid that what he speaks will spread. Well, they ought to look around because you got men like Ted Cruz, you got Richard Murdoch here in Indiana, and you've got others. They are not establishment candidates. They were selected by the people, and the GOP establishment cannot stand that. And, the GOP establishment is right in line with the left because they fear Alan West, too, or anyone like Alan West in any way.
Well, here's the thing. What one of the guys from FreedomWorks was talking to Glenn today on his show regarding the Ted Cruz situation. If he wins, and I'm praying that he does, this is going to send a shockwave throughout the GOP establishment there and the media, the left-wing media. They're not going to know what hit them, and they're not even going to know how to spin it. They're going to lie and, you know, do their propaganda and their Pravda nonsense. But
They tried to ignore that when Murdoch defeated Lugar.
Yeah.
Because Lugar was Obama's favorite Republican. He was also a career 30-some years? He's beaten by a candidate that the establishment tried everything to do against, and he did too. You'd have thought that Lugar was a Democrat the way they were fighting Murdoch.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But the people beat them. And
same with
if Cruz wins, that's just Brown won. You're seeing these things happening, and the GOP establishment, you're going to have to watch them too.
I know.
They don't want to give up no power.
I know. And I hope that if Ted wins, that it makes them shake in their boots, because when they are fearful, then we have freedom. I'm telling you. And I think Connie Mack's running for Senate in one of the southern states. And is it Florida? God, I can't remember. But it could be. So, Ron Golden's on the computer, but he's not here yet. So, I don't know. Let me see if he's in there. No, not yet. I'll have to somebody send him an email. Tell him to get over here. But yeah, I didn't email Hollis because I don't even know if his email is the same, because I tried and it keeps bouncing back to me. So,
well, you know, you have a few of them that have tried to jump out here and be a voice, kind of, or be heard, and try to, I guess, seal themselves in re-elections. But Representative King today said that the question of Obama's eligibility will not be brought up till after the election.
Oh, my God.
Till after the election.
Oh, my God. That is, now, which one is...
If there's any kind of a question about it, then it should be brought up right damn now.
Of course. Well...
And to give that kind of vet rhetoric to it and dismiss it off to the, well, we'll look at it in the future. I have to question your loyalty and his Americanism and patriotism to even make that kind of comment. if there's any question, it should be resolved. Do you say, well, he may be a criminal, we'll wait till after he's only done so much, so we'll wait till he's done more? What if he
can? Yeah, now, what state is Rep. King from?
Oh, my gosh. You would have asked me that.
And now, is he's, okay, I'm trying, is he a Republican or Dem?
He's a Republican.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is, oh, okay, he said Iowa.
Yeah.
God,
okay, see,
Iowa.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's a Republican and spouting something like that. What if Obama wins? Then it never gets looked into? You know, it's crazy.
Well, you know.
We're seeing this craziness.
I
know. But then again, if you look at what Glenn just did, and 20 countries, 20-some countries, you're telling me 20-some countries around the world are awake to the Tea Party and stuff?
Right.
That says a lot. How's that for AstroTurf, Nancy?
Well, yeah, the thing is, when you know, we've got a lot of favorite good people. We've got Dement, and we've got Mike Lee, and we've got all these guys that are really decent people who get it, Alan West, to name a few. I would say Ron Paul, Rand Paul, others, Ted Cruz, Murdoch, correct? Your guy that just got the primary. These are the people who have brains in their heads. I would say the remainder of the people in both houses are, like I said, they have, you know, gnat-sized brains. They're either naive or they're in on it. I mean, I can't explain it any other way.
The only other answer is they're ignorant.
Well, that too. I mean,
and ignorance is self-inflicted.
Exactly. It's not to be tolerated. absolutely.
It's every day you just get up, in the morning, so I'm all right, I'm having my coffee, I start reading the news and checking into things, and within a half hour, I'm ready to pull what hair I have out. I'm ready to throw things because I read things from both sides of the aisle, and I'm wondering, who the hell are these people? Where the hell were they raised? And how did they get in America?
Oh, I know. Well, I believe the infiltration started, you know, over 100 years ago, and I think that with the idiotic universities and the lefties and the, you know, the red diaper doper babies becoming professors like Bill Ayers and the rest of them, and then you had Smarty Pants Zero, wherever he was, Cambridge or one of them, teaching Saul Alinsky and all the rest of it. This is the results of it. I'm not kidding. This goes back many decades.
If you look at the education thought part, we have thrown billions and billions of dollars at it continuously, and only by both parties, only to see our kids keep slipping further down.
I know.
The answer is not throwing more money. That's what you've been doing. It hasn't worked.
Right. And all of these programs and all of this nonsense and everything that the federal government has usurped over the years is negating states' rights and states' responsibilities. And we know where that gets us. We're all, you know, we're all serfs now. Let's face it. In fact, my next book is going to be Hayek's Road to Serfdom. But the gentleman from FreedomWorks today talked about Ted Cruz and said that he's very strong proponent of the 10th Amendment, and he will be on that like white on rice. And he definitely believes that the 10th Amendment is as clear as a bell. What it says is that the powers not enumerated to the Congress and the federal government shall devolve always to the states and then to the people. So he's definitely a 10th Amendment guy. And, you know, this is the 100th anniversary of Milton Friedman's birth, and they're talking about that stuff too. It's all over the internet. And that guy was a genius. I mean, the free market, what we would call from the old days, like the founders wanted, and the true capitalism, like the founders wanted, I think he was the best person to articulate what that all really meant. Friedman was a genius, and what he did when in his speeches was what Ron did to that caller, is instead of giving an answer to the statement or the question, he just turns it around and asks the question of the person. You know, like, okay, you know, what would you say to this, and how does this work, you know, that type of thing. So you, instead of going flying off the handle like we do and throwing things on the radio, you calm down.
You notice that caller.
Huh?
You notice that caller when it was over. That caller was then questioning, you know, which side he was on.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, that's something that...
That was amazing.
Yeah, that's something I'm trying to do. I'm trying to learn this. And, you know, like Ron kept saying, you know, it was kind of like a hint, I think, that he wants callers that disagree with him and to make a great radio show. It's absolutely correct. I mean, you know, this is something that I know Mark Levin does it all the time. He has special lines open just for liberals, but and he has a real good time with him. And this one guy, he had him on for like a half an hour, and he kept holding him over on the breaks because he was a college student. And he says, I think if I'd have had another segment, I think I could have won this kid over. But he actually kept him on long enough. He says, I'm going to send you a copy of my book. I guess it was Ameritopia. And he says, promise me you'll read it. And he
great
almost
book.
Had the kid, you know what I mean? He was doing a great job. So
I do. I've been lucky to be on his show 3 times.
Yeah.
Over climate. And Levin has a unique way of how he does things, yes. And he has the control over it. But how Ron did it last night was totally just amazing. Because
that was smooth as silk.
Ron never raised his voice, not once.
Yep. Not once. Yeah, it was fabulous.
The other guy was screaming at first and realized he was screaming, but Ron wasn't, and got him to calm down.
Yeah.
And then he started listening. And then when it was over, he's like, well, you may be right. You know, I better be checking into some things because, you know.
Sure.
We weren't what he thought we were.
Yeah. Well, you know, when Ron explained about how he believes, and I know he said this many times, that the damn state or federal has no business in issuing licenses for all this stuff. And we could go all the way down the whole slope with the driver's licenses and all the rest of it because, you know, what they're doing is they're in essence giving you permission for something they don't even need to be giving you permission for. It's just, you know, they're just making up all this nonsense.
Let me give you a prime example. I just put this place in next door for my parents, right?
Yep.
There was already a lane there. But once we had the trailer set and everything was being set up, then they told us we had to have a permit to put in a lane, a drive. Hell, the drive's been there for 30 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you know, we're not putting nothing in. It's already there. It's been there. Yet we had to buy a permit to put in a drive.
It's crazy. Yeah, the regulations are beyond... The lack of freedoms are beyond, and I mentioned that in my meeting today with the mayor. I said just wait, you know, if this continues and this Agenda 21 has all the implementations in place, the overregulation will be so burdensome. I says, do you think the businesses and people are bailing out of California now? Wait, there won't be anything left but hats, boots, and belt buckles. You know what I mean?
I'd ask him what power does he think he'll have once they take over, because they'll be the ones with the power, not him.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
They will take that away from him.
Oh, yeah. I agree. But, you know, I was trying to spoon feed these guys, but yet I did show them the end game with the Wildlands Project, where everything's off limits to humans. Huh?
You could have showed them the article on the guy that's in jail for collecting rainwater.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, if that's not the most, I don't know how to describe that. It just blows my mind for collecting rainwater. But then I knew this was going to happen. I actually read the cap and trade bill, and I tried telling people then, inside the cap and trade, they're going to take control of all the water, even down to the mud puddles. People didn't pay attention. Well, now Congress, you know, cap and trade didn't pass. It was rejected. Yet the president goes around Congress and our Senate, goes around the legal way he's supposed to do things, and uses the EPA to instill cap and trade.
I know. And here's the thing.
And he's done that on amnesty and other things. Every time he's done that, he's violated.
Sure. Well,
and yet no one no one's saying nothing.
Well, the problem is, I have to give credence to Glenn when he says, stop complying, you know. And that's why he did what he did with the 14 trucks or whatever he had. And I think there was 11 cities that he went to with the food. And he says, I'm putting you guys on notice. Don't you dare try to stop me from feeding the hungry. Don't even try. And, you know, it's that kind of stuff that's going to wake these guys up and put them back in their little cave.
Well, I'm going to ask a crazy question, Linda.
What?
With the way the food stamp program is, why in the hell is there people hungry?
Well, I don't know, but I'm, you know.
Yeah. Who are you thinking?
I don't know. I mean, now, of course, this administration's pushing it, and the, I guess it's, what is it, President Calderon, whatever his idiot's name is down south, is trying to get, you know, they're pointing their fingers north so that people can cross the border and get on the food stamp.
You tell Calderon, somebody should stand up and tell Calderon to shut up. And sit his button and fix his own country. Fix your country, Calderon. Look at your immigration laws. And then don't you open your mouth about ours. That just makes you a hypocrite. It makes you lower than scum. You open your mouth about our laws when your laws are more strenuous than ours. You have voter ID, yet you're complaining that the United States wants it. You are nothing but a hypocrite. Fix your own country and shut the hell up about America.
Well, here's the thing, Bill. I don't care if it's the UN or if it's China or if it's Mexico or whatever or Sharia. Our Constitution is supposed we're a sovereign. We're supposed to be insulated from this garbage, but we've got evil people allowing this to happen. And so whatever he says, I don't care what he says. Nobody should care what he says. And whoever's running this country should tell him, to sit, like you say, sit down and shut up. We don't care. You have nothing to do with our Constitution and our Congress and our laws and our lawmaking and our courts. Go away.
You're supposed to be a sovereign country. Deal with your own country's problems.
Yep, exactly.
And your own country, and you don't deal with your country's problems by sending your people to steal from another country.
Oh, he doesn't care. He's you know, he's on board with all that SPP stuff that Bush started.
Uh-huh. And who else is crossing that border?
Oh, I know. Oh, did
you? And you can't. Well, just on that note alone, by him allowing our enemies to use that border to cross, as Mexico has always done, that's an act of war.
True. And yet, the other thing, did you hear Glenn had Janet Incompetano with the Department of Homeland Insecurity? And she was on some news thing, and they were asking her. I looked like a Wolf Blitzer conehead asking the questions. Of course, they never call these people on anything because they're too damn ignorant to figure out that they can actually, you know, refute what these people are saying. She's just sitting there lying. I mean, every single item, whether it's right, left, R, D, the administration, or the right or left wing. Either side of the news media, I'm telling you, I don't trust them. I don't believe a word they say. I'm going to do my own research, and I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm telling you, these people, it's propaganda up the wazoo.
Well, there was just an article out with I can't remember who it was, admitted that the White House is dictating the news.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. They're censoring.
So that means there's no truth.
No. Well, the truth has no agenda in their world. You know,
no.
None. Has no place
in
their
world. Well, when you believe yourself above everybody else and that everybody else is less than you, then you get to have that godlike syndrome, thinking that laws don't apply to you, rules don't apply to you, you set your own laws and your own rules, but they apply to everyone else but you.
Well, yeah, these people are exempt because they're elitists, they're oligarchs, and I believe they're the ones who are pulling all the strings are nihilists, and I do believe that Obama is just, you know, he's an evil puppeted person, but his roots, you know, are rooted in ideology that is so Lenin. It's just so clear. I mean, I saw it way back in 08. I knew he was I compared him to Hitler because of what he was doing with the all the industries and the banking and all the rest of it. And then he was trying to promulgate all these laws on hate speech. Oh, man, I knew, and I hadn't even read one book that I got on it at that point.
All you had to know was that there was $3 billion put into that campaign by George Soros, a Nazi sympathizer. That should have told you everything right there. A confirmed Nazi sympathizer.
Right. Well, what really tore it was not just the things he said during the campaign, but then when he got in and started, like Ron says, actions speak so much louder, and every action he took from the minute he got in scared the shogbot out of me.
And then you got to realize he was being, he wasn't pushing what he will push if he's reelected. Because he had to worry about being reelected. So he was lax in what he was pushing. If he gets reelected, there'll be no laxness.
No.
Well, he will see the total destruction. He will complete UN Agenda 21. He'll put the final nails in the coffin.
It is. You're right. Absolutely. That's too scary for words. I don't know. At that point, I don't know what I'm going to do besides build a bunker.
That's what I say. At what point does the act of being peaceful and trying to do things in an orderly manner go out the window and you're fighting for your life?
I know. I don't know the answer to that, except that...
I don't think any of us do.
Yeah, it's pretty scary because, if he, God forbid, he gets back in. And, if Romney's elected, I would encourage every person listening, every person on Patriot Families, everybody on Tea Party Nation, everybody in every Tea Party group from here to Hades should write a letter to him. And I'm serious, as many letters as you can get to that guy and say, don't you dare go down this path. I mean it. And just in no uncertain terms.
Why would
tell
he fear us?
Well, if you get enough of them.
You think Obama hasn't got enough of them?
I don't know. Honest to God, I don't know how many he got.
I mean, I hate to be the realist here, but both parties put us in this position.
Exactly.
Both parties were catering to a UN Agenda 21, sustainable development, sustainable prosperity, which is really, truthfully, the real name should be sustainable enslavement.
That's correct. The road to serfdom. It is. It's horrible.
They don't want me to help my brother out of my own heart and my own what I earn on my own and stuff. No, they want to take it from me and give it to someone who I probably don't even know and wouldn't give it to because they wasn't helping themselves. And you cannot help someone who will not help themselves.
And the other,
you just can't
the
do it.
And the worst part about the global thing and the green agenda is that they're going to take it from every single one of us and they're going to send it to some rat hole in a third world country. Isn't that special?
When I think about, I grew up, and you've been here to Indiana, so you know what I'm saying? I grew up in an area where people collect rainwater. Women especially, they use it to wash their hair and stuff like that.
Right.
And it was supposed to be better for washing your hair and stuff. And when something so simple as rainwater, I want the government to explain how they own the rainwater.
Well, apparently, like I said, they think they are God already, so that's why they're trying to wield this power,
and they're trying to create... And they own the air, and they own the waters, and they own winds,
and the carbon. Uh-huh, I know. It's disgusting. It is a sad day, but that's
if
why
If they
I'm...
own it, let me see them control it.
Oh, sure. It's not fair, it's not good, and... anybody out there, Oz or Drained Out, anybody that wants
Ron's
to call
right.
in?
They're buying boats with our money. They're not only buying the boats, Ron, they're using our own money to fight us. We are paying the other side to fight us.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what's happening is with the Federal Reserve and the taxation system under the 16th Amendment and all the rest of the nonsense that's going on, we are funding our own demise. We are feeding the beast and allowing them to have their little global schemes and their new world order. This is what's happening. And that's why I call us radical serfs.
But, I can remember a few days in my lifetime when nobody, it was never concerned what party you were from or anything like that.
Right.
The concern was, I'm an American, something happened or something's happening, and my neighbor, regardless of his political affiliations, needs my help. I'm going to help him. That's gone
right
out the window. That has just totally gone out the window. We have been divided, used against each other by class, by race, by ethnicity,
right,
by sexual preference, and many other ways. Divide us. Use the animal lovers against those who eat animals. Use
right
climate as the basis for taking global control, because if we can do that, we can say, oh, but it's for the environment, which is such a big lie.
Yep. Huge.
But everything they're doing is to gain control over everything. Pit everybody against each other. And
right,
that's why I say, when you look at it and how we're all going out and we're fighting in different directions, a lot of them, that you're serving their cause when you do that. You need to come together and fight the thing, the heart, the brain of all of it. And that is the UN Agenda 21. And you can start by doing that, but we start raising hell. We want the UN out of the United States.
Right.
And we want the United States out of the UN, never
and
to return.
And
we want
also,
no more
also,
of our dollars going to such a
right
radical organization.
And we should tell them also that every single, all of the 600 or 700 cities that have ICLEI, that should be outlawed. I'm serious. I would just say, that's it. You're not doing it. You just get it out of here. Take that or that NGO and just abolish it. I don't know how to do it, but I'm gonna send that letter to that governor of Alabama, and I'm going to point blank ask him, dear God, tell me how you did it, because I need to know, you know.
Well, the people were awakened to it, and the people supported it.
Yep.
In the other states, the state governments are ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to act like it doesn't exist. They did the same thing with illegal immigration. Oh, and, you know, I see people throwing a fit all the time. Well, we had so many soldiers killed in Afghanistan, 48, and I think it was in the month of July. But I never hear anybody saying, we lost 25 people every damn day in the month of July at the hands of a illegal alien.
Sure.
Or any of the other botched things that our government does. How many people are dying every month because of a prescription drug?
It's horrible. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that I didn't get to on my emails today, just prior to opening the show for you guys. There was something about, it wasn't just the illegals, there was, you know, tons of stuff going on that are the evil entities. And again, I'm concerned about the next big housing bubble, because now these guys are trying to, like I said, mess with all the records of poor people. And so that all these credit rating agencies will, you know.
No matter what they do, you cannot make everybody exactly equal. It will never happen.
I know.
Because each individual has something inside them that drives them. And
right,
there's nothing the government can do to control that unless they want to put everybody on drugs and make everybody in a stupor. It's the only way they'll be able to do it. Some people are just going to have more initiative and more drive than others. If not, you wouldn't have so many people living in the welfare system. They would have gotten out of it.
And the other one was about the vaccinations. I think it was the H1N1. They're putting together a huge number of vaccinations. I don't know who they're going to try to, you know, nail, but
the entire populace.
Yep.
It ain't going to be me. I've never taken one of their flu shots and stuff.
Oh, no.
I am sick less than most anybody I know, and I think
right,
I contributed to the fact is I'm a vegetable eater, but I'm more of the vegetables and stuff I eat. Most of it comes grown here in my area.
Right.
My meat, as you know, our meat comes grown here and raised here
right
in this area. I don't want that outsider stuff from other countries that Monsanto's been playing with. I don't
right
want anything from Monsanto. It still just freaks me out that the maker of DDT and Roundup and Agent Orange is the ones that's playing with our food.
Right. Well, the other thing that was on the internet too. I think it was 2 days ago, and I was reading about. I think it was either the AM, not the AMA, but the other the people who are. Take Back Medicine people, and they were talking about there was a lot of doctors and patients who were writing in and wondering what's going on, and they were targeting policemen, firemen, and military guys, and they were, when they go to the clinic or their doctor, they would have the, you know, these questionnaire things, and they'd ask them, do you own any guns, and how many do you have in your home, and all this nonsense, and they were also asking them stuff like, have you ever been treated for depression and all this crap? You know what? Somebody asked me those questions, I'd say, you better damn well have a search warrant, or I'm not answering one more word, and it's none of your damn business. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's beyond. But it's like, I know several people that's happened to, and I'm like, well, did you tell them? He said, hell no. And it reminded me of the time when I was a youngster in school, and they would pass out the paper and say about marijuana. And hell,
right.
Nobody was going to tell them anything. And so they'd say, well, the survey says this. They didn't tell you the survey was totally screwed up because nobody was going to give you the any real answers because they didn't trust you.
Right. Absolutely.
And
so,
it's the same way with that. Ain't nobody in their right mind going to go in there and tell them, yeah, I got guns, I got this, I got that.
I know. It's insane. Absolutely. And I can't tell who the guests are, but I'm kind of hoping that one of them's Hollis, but can't tell yet.
I don't know where he's at.
I
once saw a shrink. I think this was when I was in the military. It might have, but anyways, when I left his office, yeah, I was in the military because my sergeant says, well, and he says, the guy just scared me. He goes, because I don't know if I was given him, if I was trying to give him some kind of therapy or if he was giving it to me.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And, you know, I'd say Ron would be the same way. They start asking questions, I start asking questions. Well, they couldn't answer them either.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and of course now they're targeting the kids, you know, the little ones, and asking them, I don't know if the teachers are asking them or if they're making them fill out stuff or whatever, if their families or their parents own guns and stuff. Yeah. So, of course, this is the public schools. It's just, it's devolved.
Oh, yeah, the public schools. You might as well, I don't know what to call that because it really has nothing to do with the public. It's the government-controlled schools is what it is.
Yeah, it's the government Marxist indoctrination day camp centers.
And now, here in Indiana, I'm hearing in my area, they're going to make them all start going year-round. And I'm thinking, well, they're not getting indoctrinated fast enough, so that's why they're doing this. Because there's, you know, and
they're,
I know there's a big push. There is a time limit on doing this.
Right.
They have a time limit. I'm not sure exactly what the time limit is about. I've read some stories and here and there, but I don't know what's truth about it. But I know there is a limit on how long they think they can do this. And I would say it goes along with, well, you know, once we start so much, the public's going to wake up, so we got to do it right then.
Right.
Before the public does wake up and rise up. But they're already seeing that. I've said all along, the greatest thing that had happened was the Tea Party. Is when people stood up in the town halls and stuff, and the people fought back because all these planners for the last 100 years of this world agenda did not see that coming and had no answer for it.
Yep. So the other thing is, with what I'm doing with my group and what others are doing in their areas, like all through California, you know, Warren Duffy and Anaheim and Irvine, I've got people in Orange County going against the smart meters. I've got people all through down here going to every Tea Party they can, educating people on smart growth. I'm doing my stuff. I just did it today with the mayor of Oceanside, Rosa Chiari up in San Carlos, along with Heather Gass. I mean, there's just tons of people. Tom DeWeese is working on it. Ted Cruz will do something about it because he knows. So it's you know, the more education and the more, and plus, what Glenn just did this past weekend with the spiritual awakening. I mean, you know, I think that these guys, I think their days are numbered, and that's why they're upset. So, yeah, they can do whatever they want, but, you know, we got God on our side. I don't, you know, if it comes down to a battle,
well,
it comes down to a battle.
That's right. Well, I got to tell you, Linda, they're not going to back up. They're
no.
not going to start over. They have come too far.
That's true.
And it took them too many years to get to this point. They're not going to back up. It's all or nothing.
True.
And,
but we can
and we all need to keep that in mind. It is all or nothing. In the same token, for us, it's liberty or it's death.
I know.
I don't want to be a slave, so it's death. I won't be a slave.
I won't either.
I'm not going to take a chip in my hand or anywhere else. Uh-uh. You're not going to vaccinate me with some crap.
That's right. H1N1.
Yeah,
I know.
There's studies out that says that this is, it's a threat. It's dangerous.
Of course.
But they still go through with it because it's part of their agenda.
Exactly. Nobody listens. I know. There's a few people that wake up, though.
When you start tying the leads together, Gates gets out there, talks about depopulation. Gates goes and buys 500,000 shares of Monsanto. Gates is investing in this H1N1 vaccine stuff.
Oh my God!
Wake up!
I know. And what I know. Glenn was saying we've got to actually just keep pushing harder than they do and go. You know what I mean? On steroids, just keep going and keep going and keep pushing because we've got to push back.
We've got Congressman Linda screaming that we should follow the example of Islamic schools. We've got people in our administration, Elizabeth Warren, saying that China is our model.
I know.
What is wrong?
She's nuts. That woman is absolutely...
Andre Carson's nuts. And I put out all over Indiana now. We're working on it, and I'm putting it out, and I'll keep at it. Andre Carson's got to go.
Yep.
Indiana cannot have a Muslim like him sitting in there thinking that Islam, and for the gays that support these people, are you out of your minds? Once Sharia law takes over, they're going to kill you.
Wake oh, my God.
Up.
Yeah, they'll be the first to go. Absolutely the first to go. They hang... gays all through the Middle East. I know Iran does. They stone them. I know Saudi Arabia does. All of them. I'm sure Egypt with the Muslim Brotherhood is going to be a real bloodbath pretty soon. Forget about it. It's horrible. I know. And I love Alan because Alan knows about the Sharia and the Quran and the Hadith. He knows it inside and out. So that's why he speaks. And I hope that he keeps talking.
Infringe. What does infringe mean? Rod wants to know what does the word infringe mean.
That means you cannot. Take away. You can't usurp or impede the freedom of it. You can't. Pounce.
It means
pounce
to stop the forward progress.
Right.
To stop the progress. If you're having a conversation and someone infringes, they butt in. If you're working at home and someone comes over and you're putting something together and someone comes in and infringes on what you're doing, they're butting in. They're getting in the way. They're stopping the progress.
Yeah, they're impeding you to the max. And that's
he
might be talking about the Second Amendment. It's pretty clear. That's the one of the clearest cut ones I've ever heard. I mean, it's like
you're wrongly interfering.
Well, yeah, you have. In other words, when they say in all these documents the word shall means must, or in other words, that's like written in stone when they say shall. So, not maybe. there's no maybes. So when they say shall not be infringed, they mean exactly that. So. Anybody who wants to argue about the Second Amendment, they got a big argument with all of us because that's just nonsense. And I know Jefferson, man, he was a huge proponent of that. Oh, man, he was, like, on it. So.
Well, now, I never knew that it meant that he was immune from the law. I'll have to look into that. It's really got me puzzled there, Rod. Infringe means immune from the law.
I think he's talking about enforcement. Yeah, exactly.
Right. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be interfered with, is what that is saying, Rod.
They can't take it away. And besides, those 10 amendments, those first Bill of Rights, are protected not only by the Constitution, but they were talked about in the Declaration of Independence, meaning these are unalienable rights from God not from men, not from governments, not from kings, not from your next door neighbor, and you can't take them away. So that's why we have to learn our history, and we have to stand up for it and speak and question with boldness and speak without fear and just say, no, we're not complying. We're not, you know, that's why do you think that they had to, you guys are going to love my show tomorrow. I got a whole bunch of goodies, but why do you think that the Congress was forced, literally forced after 10 years or whatever, to repeal prohibition? Nobody complied with it. Hello? It was a joke. And a sad one because there was a lot of bloodshed over this stuff, you know, with the gangs.
Yeah.
And the mob.
Okay, let me cut in here. Okay, Ron, what that's saying is laws cannot infringe. They cannot interfere with. Congress can make no law, and Congress shall make no law that would infringe, that would interfere on that right.
They can't. And besides, it's actually biblical to be able to have self-defense. You have a right to life. That's why they put the first part in there, life, liberty, and property, or pursuit.
Well, I'm always amazed there because I think for some reason the Christian's not going to, cannot defend themselves, and they've obviously not read the book. I've had people do that. Matter of fact, when I got saved, I had a preacher walk up, punch me in the belly, and he says, "You can't hit me back now, you're a Christian." And I said, "You know, that's what just what Goliath thought before that rock hit him between the eyes."
Good one. I like that.
And the same thing with the Philistines. When Samson pushed down the walls or he killed 10,000 of them with the jawbone of an ass, do you think they were thinking, oh, he's a Christian, he can't fight, he can't defend himself?
Well, you know, it's a whole story. It's a different, you know, if somebody just...
Well, what they have to worry about is this, Linda. God only needed one man any time.
Right.
Any time he needed something to do with the world, he only needed one man.
That's correct. And he did. He used Noah and Moses and David and Saul and Solomon and Samson and all the rest of it. So... Yeah, it's true.
Well, Ron, you're right. But what we have is we have an elected and an appointed Secretary of State who is working with the UN trying to destroy that Constitution.
Oh, yeah. They're shredding
it. Hillary is working against the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the 10th, the 14th Amendments. She's working against all that stuff. Hillary,
and the 4th and 5th.
But now, let's look at Hillary. Hillary is on a list to be at the IMF.
God. Oh, lovely.
And, you know, well, she is just like Obama and anybody. She is self-serving. And she would have more power in her mind if she was on the IMF than she would as President of the United States.
Well, you know, Rod, to answer all that, have you ever, I don't know if you've read the Federalist Papers, but I believe it was probably Madison or one of those guys that were involved in that. They were very emphatic in their notes and their ideas on the Constitution that whatever Congress does, if they start making weird laws that are unconstitutional, antithetical to our freedoms, etc., then they're automatically null and void anyway. So we don't, you know, and this is the thing. People, that's why when Prohibition hit, people just said, screw this, we're doing it anyway. They drank it, they sold it, they made it, they bought it. I mean, good grief. It was amazing.
And it was the Roaring Twenties.
Shadow government, I don't know what rate, to watch later. Okay, I know about Shadow Party, Shadow Government from Horowitz. Is that, I don't know if that's the same one, but I'll try to save it for later. Can somebody copy and put that into Patriot Families, and then I'll get it later. Well, yeah.
Well, the boy, thing about psychiatry is every psychiatrist needs one.
Well,
if you ever studied Freud, you'd know that even Freud said, what's normal for one is not normal for another, so who's to say what's abnormal? And that's the same with psychiatrists. They don't know any more than anyone else.
Well, this is part of, I believe, that the communist infiltration is that they started this, and the Fabian Socialists with George Bernard Shaw, the guy you just mentioned, Freud, and Jung, and all these people, they were all cut out of the same cloth, and they knew that they had to start implementing their stuff, you know, through the schools, through the colleges, through saying that people needed psychiatry, because they didn't want them to have psychiatrists in, they wanted them to have psychiatrists in place of clergy helping them with their...
Exactly.
That's what's been going on. I just read a whole thing. I didn't get to finish the whole document that my friend Chris, who wrote Proof of God, is talking about. There's this huge manifesto that she found and she put up there. So I'll try to get to you guys once I've done reading it. But it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then then on top of that, they've got all the drugs they want to induce with the Ritalin and the Prozac and the this and the that and the, you know, and the Haldol.
Yeah, 25% of school-age kids are on a prescription drug.
It's crazy.
And then there's an age group of women that is 50% are on a mood drug.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Now, when you start looking at those things, I got to start questioning the doctors, Big Pharma, and everybody involved.
Well, not only that, but the how can the parents even how do they?
Do you notice, Linda, that before Ritalin and all this other crap came out, did you know how parents handled those problems?
The kids got the cure. You know which one. Well, then they started outlawing it, and the kids are saying, "Well, if you hit me, I'll call the cops and turn you in."
Well,
isn't that special?
They started outlawing it, and they started medicating the kids.
Well, yeah, I think they started medicating.
The FDA has a great history. How many drugs have they okayed that they only had to later come back and take off the market?
Oh, sure.
Let's hear that list. Let's hear that number. Yeah, they don't want to tell you that, and they won't tell you that.
Wow.
But we've seen drugs that have been on the market 20-plus years, and now they kind of say, oh, don't take that.
Yeah,
duh.
I know. Yep. And, well, I think we talked about it before. Remember, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear, Bill.
Well, that's it. And it's sad that we've gotten to that. That this whole country, that we cannot have trust in our fellow people in our country to look out for the best interest of all. And by doing that does not mean stealing from someone who's working their butt off and earning something and giving it to someone over here who won't lift a finger to do anything. There is such idiocy. Here's an example of the idiocy. You arrest a guy for not paying child support and you put him in jail. How in the hell is he supposed to pay child support from jail?
I know.
He can't. So, I got a little solution to that. When you put him in jail, you take him out every morning and you have him do whatever around the city. You utilize his labor and you use that whatever he earns that way to earn his way out of jail. And, you know, maybe you're teaching him then some responsibility and he might be smart enough to continue working. Find a job and continue working to keep his rear out of jail.
Right.
But he knows if he goes to jail for non-support, he's still going to have to work.
Right, and pay the child support. Exactly. Well, it's crazy, but when you talk about the, when you say there's no trust, because as we know, the news media is just Pravda. But, you know, at this point, they're destroying themselves, Bill. They really are exposing and destroying themselves.
Well, yeah. I love seeing the chaos that's coming out on the left right now. When you've got so many investigations going on, so many of them getting caught up in their corruption and stuff, and they're grasping, everything's getting revealed, you're seeing it. They are in desperation, as Lou Dobbs said today. They are in desperation.
Be blessed, yo. Thanks for tuning in, hon. Everybody's leaving.
Blessing, Joe, to you and Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, you know, here's our problem, Rained Out and others. We're paying right now to keep people in prison. Back a while, those prisons made money and kept them in there, and it wasn't costing us because they were making the money. They were self-sustaining, self-supporting, and the extra goods that they did produce were, you know, cheaper goods, and the things weren't like they are. Today we're spending billions of dollars to keep all these people in prison, many of them from Mexico. And
right.
That's where, be glad I'm not a person who has the power, because I'd be sending Mexico a bill that would crush their country.
I'd be sending,
economically.
You know what we should do? We should not only deport the illegals, but put a congressman under each arm on the way out.
Well, yeah. But there's so many illegals, we ain't got that many congressmen. We could have some off the state levels, I guess.
Let me tell you, get about 250 and a congressman under each arm, you got it made.
And we're seeing a big push, and we're going to get a progressive as vice president. There's no way will Romney and the GOP establishment allow Romney to pick anyone who isn't part of their establishment.
I know.
It'd be a Marco Rubio, you know, the token
right.
Hispanic, or it'd be someone along that kind of line. So I don't even know if Rubio is eligible.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is. And if he isn't, and you go through and doing that, well, then you are the same as giving your blessing to Obama for being illegal.
Oh, it's horrible. Now, who's this guy Bob Portman they keep talking about? Do you know him?
I have no idea who Bob Portman is. That tells me that he probably isn't somebody I want if I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I think he's he may be a governor, but okay. Is he he must be from Ohio.
Yeah, he's not the governor of Ohio, ain't that
Oh yeah, maybe
Kasich?
Yeah, Kasich's the governor. Walker's Wisconsin. I don't know. I have no idea. I have to Google and find out. I don't.
I will tell you this. You do not want Mitch Daniels.
No. No.
Mitch Daniels is a globalist, the same as the Bushes. He was part of that same group with Karl Rove and the Bushes and Dick Cheney and
yep.
Clinton. You know, I seen something the other day that was about, you know, Cheney made comments about Palin. Well, I'm going to tell you what. To me, Palin has stood more like an American than John McCain has. In the last few years, John McCain has tried to push for amnesty.
Yep.
His defense of Muslim Brotherhood and
yep.
Hillary Clinton and her aide, you just make me want to throw up, McCain. You make me sick.
Yeah, he's evil. I think he's just not only senile, but he's just totally on the progressive side. I think he has been for years. I think he's no different than Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi, not one iota. I don't see any difference.
I consider him part of that same progressive establishment trying to install Agenda 21.
Yep,
and I
absolutely.
Also know that through his wife and stuff, he's part of the Bilderberg groups.
Oh, lovely.
Or at least associated there.
Right.
I have a list I should put on. I don't know how to get it on. I have it here. I meant to give it to one to you at Delaney, and I forgot to bring it. And I had a disc, two discs, and it has thousands of names and how they're all tied to the Bilderbergs. Here's the thing. These discs are from, probably 2000 or before.
Okay.
And these names are showing up on there then.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, I mean, somebody was saying...
Obama's doesn't show up on it, but Oprah's does.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who said it and where I saw it. It could have been something on a YouTube or from Alex Jones that these FEMA camps were built by Halliburton, and there's hundreds of them all over, fully equipped, fully ready to go. Hundreds.
I haven't been all over. I have been to Crown Point, Indiana. And what I saw there was like nothing I've ever seen before. And I would say it had more fencing than a prison.
Oh, I know. You've talked about it before. It's terrifying.
It really is to me. It bothers me because I know those things, that they will use those things on children, too.
Oh, yeah. They've got
And that really...
I know.
That really...
They don't care.
That really, really gets to me. I'm in what I'm doing right now because I felt like the kids had no one doing it, that someone had to stand up and protect the young and those that couldn't fight for themselves, and I didn't see anyone else doing it, and I was like, well, if no one else will, I will. And thankfully, I got out there doing it, and now there's people like you and Ron and Rod and Rained Out and, you know, just so many across this nation that are doing it. They're staying up now and fighting for those same things, trying to protect those same ones. And when you think that the people that want control and power, what they would do to children.
I know.
If it does not make your blood boil, if it does not make you want to strike them down, well, then if I was you, I'd be going on my knees because there's something missing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, I was just going to say hi to Ron and Rained Out and Rod, of course, too. But because Ron just came on, and we don't know where Hollis is right today, so I opened up the show. And, you know, if you want to call in and give us a little rant, we got 49 minutes left. So
Rubio was born in Florida, but he was born to two people who at the time were Cubans and not citizens.
Yeah, the problem is the allegiance. I mean, even if Barack Obama Sr. was a Kenyan, which I don't even know, nobody even on this planet, I believe, knows who the father really is.
Well, we know now. Did you see the news today? We know now that Obama is directly related to the very first slave in the United States through his white mother's side.
It's they're desperate. Are they desperate or what?
Well, my comeback to that was, so that makes him related to the first on both sides, since on his dad's side the first slaver was
it's laughable.
It's ridiculous.
I know. I don't understand
today. Today Harry Reid comes out and attacks Mitt Romney and Mitt Romney's father, saying neither one of them released tax returns, blah, 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 and said his father be rolling over in his grave or something along that effect. Harry Reid, if your father was a decent man, right now he's asking God to send your ass to hell in a handbasket.
Absolutely. It's crazy. I know Ron would know the answer to this, and maybe you do too, Bill. I don't even think there's any laws or statutes or anything that requires any candidate to show their tax returns. I mean, what is this about?
If I was Romney, I would go right out on front, and I'd wait till I got on a campaign when we was going to debate, and I'd say, I'll show you my tax returns when you show your college and birth certificate, not that one that you had forged, but a real one.
I
legally don't have to show no more. Romney doesn't. But when Obama is challenging that, I challenge Obama. Let's see yours.
And let's all the records.
I'd love to see how much money. And I named six people. I'd like to see how much money those six people in the last 10 years have put into the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and I wonder how many of those fancy $7,000 jackets Mrs. Zero has. I heard about that, Ron, today. Found common ground to fund the government for 6 months. They make me tired. Yeah, I mean, Bill was earlier speaking, and we were talking about Agenda 21, and we need to fight that common ground. But I know that, you know, the Federal Reserve and the 16th Amendment was their way of getting the poor serfs like us to fund these global elitists for their little agendas. And it's been going on ever since. You know, it's horrible. I mean, that I'm almost done with my one book. I'm going to peel open Hayek's Road to Serfdom, because since I am a serf, I better learn how.
Well, being a father and a grandfather, I'm kind of the ruler of my home, and I set the ground rules and things like that. Well, my wife and I together and things. But never in really my home did I ever try to do to my children and take control of every facet of their lives the
right.
way that this government is. Never. And I'll tell you why. Because I love my children.
Right.
And because I wanted them to grow and be their own individual.
Right.
That's not
and
what this government wants. This government wants clones. They want clones. Exact duplicates.
They want total slaves, I'm telling you. I
know
that. Bipartisan self-serving compromise.
Well, you did right, Ron. Bipartisan self-serving compromise of the American people.
Yep.
And that's what we've been seeing for how long?
Well, we've been covering a lot of that today. We don't trust any of them. RDI, doesn't matter. We don't trust the media left to right because they're all propagandists. They lie. There's no truth on these people. Yep, 80-plus years.
Well,
I know, it's horrible.
It really gets me that people don't question them, that people just go along and, you know, it's like, la, la, la. Oh, they can't do that. They can't do that. And they just go along. And then when it happens, you're the person they throw a fit at.
Yeah.
Like it's your fault because it happened and I didn't stop it or something.
Yeah, I can't remember who I said it to, but, it could have been one of my people at Action or it could have been Yo. I said, one of these days, if it gets closer and closer to, you know, the end times and the complete financial collapse, I'm going to have one of my little signs, you know, those signs we take to rallies and stuff. And I'm going to have it so that when they find my dead body, because I'm not going to FEMA camp, I'm going to have a sign that they can find it in my closet that says, I told you so. I told you. Oh, my God. Are you serious? I thought he was Catholic. Oh, my God. Call in, Ron. I didn't know this stuff. Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. That's not
I have no idea what Lincoln was. I know he was a lawyer, and I know that the amendment that forbid lawyers and judges from being politicians, I don't think it was ever ratified, but it came up gone right as Lincoln started to attain and run for office.
Yeah, I have to go back because I have a lot of history on that, but I don't have, I don't have that book that I'm going to order, The Real Lincoln, down there. I've got about four left to read and getting through them pretty quick.
Not a Mormon, a moron.
Okay.
Personally,
okay.
I thought a lot of them was morons.
Well, yeah, there's like a tiny, tiny handful of past presidents that
I used to feel so ashamed because Dan Quayle was from Indiana and he was so stupid. But the truth is, after seeing some of these others like Biden and some others, I'm beginning to believe Quayle wasn't so bad after all.
Yeah, at least he had five brain cells where the rest of them didn't have even one. I mean, it's horrible. Like Pelosi and Debbie washed up Schmaltz and what's that chick's name? The Pocahontas one that says she's Indian or something?
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, Elizabeth.
She just makes me. I don't know. That just kills me.
I know it's crazy. Oh yeah. So
and she's the one today who made the comment today that we should be following China's China
right.
as a role model.
Because they're building ghost cities. Oh, that's real smart, Elizabeth. Yeah. That's
Why
real.
Are they doing it? That's the question, Linda. Why are they doing that?
I have no idea. I, honest to God, do not understand it. Well.
And how many have they built?
I think there's quite a few. I didn't see the entire number, but I'll bet we could Google it and find out. I don't know what.
I bet in the end, if they follow Agenda 21, all their people will have to move from where they're at now into those cities.
They'll be off the rice paddies. Yeah. Take them off the rice paddies. God. So now we got three of us. We got 40 minutes. I don't know if you want to continue or how you want to.
Well, we can try to continue. Hopefully Ron call in here. I was so amazed to him last night that just today I even commented on Facebook about to check out Ron's archive show. You're really surprised.
Good. Yeah, it was amazing. I think he handled it so well. I mean, you know, I got to learn from that. And I think we were talking earlier, Mr. Golden, about how well you did that, and that we need more callers because we need people to disagree with us. There he is. Okay. Hey.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
Ron. You're giving up already? You got 24 hours and 39 minutes left.
Uh-oh. It says 40 minutes.
Yeah, this says 24 hours, 39 minutes remaining. So I thought maybe you guys were doing like a marathon or something.
Oh, no.
Holy crap.
I don't know. Well, okay, I'm in the studio and it says 39.56 minutes. So I don't know. But anyway, well, we have another guest, so that's good. But basically, you know, I was thinking, because if Hollis and Bill were going to be on today, I was going to call in and play devil's advocate so we could have debates. See if give Bill some practice on trying to do what you did yesterday. That was hot. So,
well, you know, the thing is, and I guess, you know, I had an unfair advantage, perhaps, because I could see his name in the studio call in, and I kind of thought it was odd, and I had a hunch that he was going to tell me he was a non-believer, he didn't believe in God, but. You know, his call-in name was War Corpse 666.
Wow. Oh, no. Okay. I've got a area code 111. If you can hear me, you're on the air.
Yeah, I can hear you. I want to know what the topic is for tonight.
Oh, whatever you want it to be.
Whatever I want it to be?
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you got something on your mind, let us know.
Well, let me see. Anything specifically that's really hitting me off the top of my head of anything that's current? Nah, just the general direction of where the country's going. Let me see. I guess we can talk about the Batman massacre. I heard that there may have been an accomplice, or at least somebody else there with a gun. Do you guys know of that?
No.
I've not heard anything of that, no.
Neither. Well, I heard about it, but I haven't verified it through my own independent research. Okay, so I guess we can leave that alone.
Well, I had seen some things about it, but it hasn't nothing been really proven yet. There was one inside the theater that said that the guy made a call, got a call and left and opened that door so the guy could come in, and there's another one outside that said something else. But until, you know, there's any proof brought forward or anything like that, we really don't know. It's just guessing.
Yeah, speculation.
Speculation.
Right. Yep. And the fallback, I mean, the blowback already and the fallout from the Batman massacre has already occurred.
Sure.
There was there's somebody who normally goes to theaters. He always carries, I think it's in Texas too, he carries around a concealed gun. He has a permit for it. But now he can't get inside the theater. Geez, I wonder why not.
Well,
the theater is in a zone that doesn't allow guns.
No. I think he's been able to go to this theater before. But what I'm alluding to is that the Batman massacre will now be used as an excuse for gun control laws.
Oh yeah.
That was pretty obvious off the bat. But do we use the Jim Jones massacre as a reason to ban Kool-Aid?
I think we should. And, well, and you know, yeah. Kool-Aid requires sugar, so I think we should ban sugar and end our sugar subsidies as well. Because absolutely, that's government subsidizing mass suicide, for God's sakes.
Well, you didn't build it, so yeah. Mm.
Right. Oh. I mean, but, you know, obviously tongue-in-cheek, but it's how ridiculous the gun control arguments are.
Well, they are. When you take a look at them on its face, but people who don't do research, don't know anything about stats, and in fact don't even like arithmetic, they feel safer because to them they believe that, well, if the guns weren't easily accessible, then these people would not have had guns. But they don't see the other side where the criminals are going to get guns no matter what.
Right.
But then that means
right.
that we can't. So, you know,
that guy
would have been shot dead, or regardless of how suicidal he might have felt, he would have thought three or four times before going over there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if simply writing some words on a piece of paper and declaring something illegal was all that was required to stop crime, we would have no illegal immigration, we wouldn't have any murder, there'd be no crime, and the cops would have nothing to do.
Right.
But you look at the two of the strongest gun laws places, Chicago and Washington, D.C., and look how their rates have went the last, I don't know, 15 years. And tell me why, if your gun controls is what you're after, why doesn't it work there?
Well, you know, I made that very point when I lived in Illinois. I grew up there, and there was a radio talk show on WLS out of Chicago. And for my 42-mile drive home from work, I'm listening to this windbag talking about how they need tougher gun control in the laws. Now, he's in Chicago proper, which is Cook County, Illinois. And it was already illegal to possess a firearm in Cook County, Illinois, unless you were a law enforcement officer. Period. End of conversation. You couldn't even keep it at a locker and transport it through the county to go outside the county to a gun range. Okay? It was against the law to own a firearm. So I spent my 42-mile commute on hold, and when I finally got through, I told him that he had a forest for the trees problem. And he inquired what I meant, and I said, well, you believe that stricter gun laws will result in less crime? And he said, absolutely. I said, but by your own theory, no one was shot in Cook County, Illinois last year except for by Leos. He hung up on me. I mean, if you use their own circular logic against them, I mean, logic would dictate in their mind that no one could have been shot by a gun in Cook County unless it was by a police officer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
of course, that was nowhere near the case.
And if you ever notice, when they talk about gun and stricter gun laws and stuff, it's always the citizenry they want to go after, but they never want to go after, like, the new Black Panthers who are out here saying they want to kill people and armed. Mm-hmm. No, they're never mentioned. It's always just us, the regular citizens, they mention.
And, Bill, that's one of those slippery slopes that I warned about before when we talked about the Zacharias Massaoui case. We've got to be damned careful that we don't get so worked up that we advocate thought crime.
Right.
You're absolutely right on that, because I think it was either just before Bush left or just when Obama came in that they were thinking about. No, Obama did at least give some sort of support to Bush philosophy that if you're detained, especially in Gitmo, that if they believe that you're going to be a threat because they feel, even though your sentence is up, that you're going to be a threat, they can detain you. That's a thought crime.
Well, I mean, you don't have to look, as much as everyone detests the individual, Zacharias Massaoui. We have set a case precedence with the Massaoui trial where you have an individual that was sentenced to life in prison for expressing his thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because he took no action to actually cause any harm to anyone. He did nothing that could even be remotely considered endangering anyone. He talked about it. He wrote about it.
Well, the most prime example is pornography. I think the law that I don't know if it's in all states or if it's just in a few states, it might be a federal law, that if you're taking a look at something online and it titillates you, that's pornography. If you try to bypass that, and if you try to create a cartoon where there's no human flesh involved in the so-called photo, in the illustration, that's still pornography. Pornography is nothing more than just thinking.
Correct.
That is a thought crime. And what do? They stop you from getting inside the borders because they want to check out your PC, your laptop, to see if you have any images. It doesn't matter what a person thinks. It only matters what they do.
Correct.
Right.
So, and again, pornography, not again, but I'm going to say this. Pornography means anybody, any naked person below the age of 18 that's supposedly in a titillating position, which means how come Jodie Foster's not in jail for being in Taxi Driver?
Well, that's
Or Brooke Shields for Pretty Things.
For Pretty Baby, right?
Pretty Baby, yeah, I mean.
Tracy Lords, you know, and
right.
She was in porn. I mean, that wasn't, you know, artistic by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. She only made one movie where she was over 18.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you had, from The Exorcist, Linda Blair.
Yeah, she was 12, I think she was, when her head was spinning around.
That when she took the cross and did the other part.
Yeah.
And then she made a movie when she was like 16 where she was raped in a girl's school.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But in Hollywood.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's artistic, guys.
Artistic.
Rattenberg, Katzenberg, Spielberg, yeah.
Well, I think the way some guys go out here and hunt is artistic.
Oh, artistic. I thought you said autistic. Like, what?
No, not autistic.
Artistic.
Yeah, right.
Or the Army guy who just won the gold in the Olympics for skeet shooting. Yeah, that was artistic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean...
Well, and that's where they want to see the use of firearms. That's their proper place in sporting events and competitions.
Right.
And then they should be locked up in a federally regulated cabinet.
When you're a government trying to take total control over the people, and at the same time you're saying all this, you're letting your Homeland Security, the FDA, and the IRS buy millions of rounds, and you're equipping some of these people with riot gear and stuff,
mm-hmm.
don't you think the population's thinking there's something up and they want to be armed too?
Well, sure. And see, people never question that. And if you look into a guy named Joe Bannister from California, he was an IRS agent, a CID agent, meaning he was Criminal Investigation Division. He carried a gun and a badge, and he raided people's houses. And he heard a radio show, Debbie Kidd, and she was talking all kinds of crazy stuff, and he thought, that just can't be true. So he started looking into it. The guy's very bright.
Okay.
And he put together a report. Superiors, this can't possibly be true, you know, and he presented the report, and he was asked to resign.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's been doing videos. I thought he was an IRS agent. He's been doing
he was.
Whistleblowing type of videos, yeah.
Yeah, he was a G-13.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the Criminal Investigation Division. The guy was a very bright CPA. But the question was, where do I get my authority to go into a sovereign state and kick in the door of someone's house without a warrant, without a court of competent jurisdiction issuing any kind of papers? They have carte blanche to do whatever the hell they want.
Which is why I'm glad in Indiana there was blowback to that particular ruling that came down about 6-7 months ago, where if a cop busts down your door, you're not allowed, even though it's an illegal search and you know it's an illegal search, to resist them. Now the law has been changed where if the cop is on, they're afraid that if they're on somebody's property and those people feel that they're threatened by the cops, that they're going to get their heads blown off, to which I say... Good.
Bravo.
Deal.
Yes.
Yeah, good on you.
Well, you know, that's the thing. That's the whole thing. You know, I had got a kid that worked for me in Marietta, and this kid's got more guns than a freaking Israeli army. And he got stopped by a cop in our parking lot on his way to work one morning, and he told the officer, "I've got a gun in the car." Well, holy crap, you would have thought that, you know, Al Capone was getting ready to carry out the St. Valentine's Day massacre. They had him surrounded. I walked out back and I said, "Is the problem?" A man, the cop pointed his gun at me, and I'm like, "Dude, that's not real bright. I don't know what your problem is, but that's not real smart on your part." And they let him go. But, you know, the cops would have a different attitude if everyone was armed.
I agree.
And they wouldn't be so, you know, so flippant about being a smartass whenever they pull somebody over and walking up like they own the world.
Yeah. And I'm not a cop lover, but I've seen some videos where the person who's put them up on YouTube has said, this is cop abuse. And I've taken a look at them and I've said, if I was a cop, I'd be even worse. Because sometimes you really, especially at a traffic stop, I would suggest to people at a traffic stop, if it's only a traffic stop, keep your mouth shut and just say, what can I do for you, officer? And don't give any lip. And that cop will, you know, he's gonna lay off you. He's gonna try to entrap you. He's gonna say, "Do you know how fast you were going?" But keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that's the best advice anytime you're dealing with law enforcement, because what most people don't understand, I guess, is they're conducting an investigation, and we don't recognize anything you say can and will be used against you. So keep your mouth shut.
Well, yeah. I'm not talking about the self-incrimination fact. I'm talking about making sure you don't escalate a molehill into a mountain.
Oh, well, sure.
Yeah.
Sure, but there's nothing you can say to a cop. You're absolutely right. Do you know how fast you were going? Well, that's a loaded question. There is no good answer.
Yeah, then you just say, can I help you, officer? And that's it. You know, can I see your name and ID and registration? Absolutely. You give it to him. Let him give you the ticket. Go on your way.
I can't tell you how many times that... happened to me a few years ago. I was headed somewhere and I got pulled over during 92 miles an hour. The cop come up and he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I just bought this car. I'm kind of blowing it out." He's told me a place to take it to do that and asked me not to be doing it on the highways, and I drove away. Now, had I been, you know, a butthole about it, yeah, he'd have took me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to jail.
Yep.
Step out of the car.
They don't like, you know, as a matter of fact, there's, you know, at least one book written by a former cops who say the first thing you should do, just be polite. if you don't want to go to jail, just be polite. Then let the rest of the Constitution come in. In other words, if you don't want the cop to search your car, do so politely, you know.
If you get defensive and stuff, then you're basically incriminating yourself. You're leading him to treat you that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're more polite and orderly about it, usually, you know, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you get the ticket and you still go on your way.
Yeah, that's not to say the cops aren't assholes, because I believe 99% of them are. I believe
that's
yes,
true.
Yes, sir.
I can't curse. Sorry.
Because the
most,
power
the,
goes to their heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know,
well,
my stepfather was a cop for 28 years. And his first words whenever he'd walk into a room is, "What's going on?"
Oh, my gosh.
And he told us flat out, if he stopped you for anything, if you were a female and you started crying, you were damn sure getting a ticket. If you tried to name drop, I know so-and-so, yeah, your ass is getting a ticket. Just plain and simple, you know. He didn't take any crap from anybody. But I will say this. He was absolutely the same with everybody. He didn't care who in the hell you were.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe they should be fair, and they do have to look out, of course, for their own lives. But I remember talking to some cops who were whistleblowers on BTR, and I asked them, what percentage across the board from coast to coast do you think are really, truly corrupt cops? And the guy says, because he was a lieutenant in, I think it was New Jersey, and the co-host of the show was a captain in the fire department in New Jersey, and they were talking, and, you know, I brought up the subject of corruption. And the whole topic, actually, the whole show was about corruption, but I wanted percentages. So he gave me 20% minimum, which means probably 20% to 30% are people who are downright, no, dirty cops, which to me means if 30% are dirty and they're out in the open and you have that blue line which protects them, that means to me 99% of cops are dirty. Because if you allow it, to me, you're a dirty cop.
Exactly. Exactly. My wife deals with a lot of officers, and you know, I told her, she had that exact conversation with one of her customers who's a police officer. and they were talking about a specific officer who was a jackass, and they all know it, you know? And I told her, I said, he's just as damn guilty for just looking the other way and letting it go on.
As far as I'm concerned, yeah. And I've partied with cops. I've played cards with cops. Cops are great people if you want to have a good time with. But that blue line means more to them than anything. They're not going to be your friends. They are there to write up tickets. They're there to get promotions. They're there to do what their precinct captain tells them to do. And that's just the way it is.
Got to generate that revenue.
Yeah. And then they found out, like, for example, in New York City, that the figures about crime going down, all falsified.
Wow.
Yep. And that's on the web, too. That's
That doesn't surprise me a bit.
Well, hell no, because Giuliani was the biggest crook of all of them.
Well
this is during Bloomberg, too.
I mean, I wouldn't spit on him if he were on fire.
No,
Giuliani,
he's a piece of shit.
He's a snake.
Well, all the politicians are, so who are we kidding?
Well that's true. That's a pretty easy statement.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't piss on any of them. Unless they had their mouth open and they were really thirsty, and maybe I might redirect it towards the flames, but not really. I let them burn.
that goes back, I can't remember the whole scenario, but you know, it was about a photographer that was down in Florida during a hurricane, and he saw a woman floating by in the debris, and he swore to God, that's Hillary Clinton. And she was just about to go under, and he was really torn with his decision. He said, you know, do I use color or black and white?
Yeah. Well, let me get the real good picture of that piece of debris named Hillary.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Global.
So how you been treating yourself, man? It's been a while since you called in.
Yeah, and you're on every night, which is a good thing, you know.
Yeah, we got a show on, you know, at least one night a week. I'm on Mondays, and I just happened to tune in. I'm fortunately off tomorrow, so we were just kind of filling some time.
Yeah, well, you got to keep the word alive. You got to really, the best you can, try to let people know that their particular version and vision of what government is and what it should be, they don't really jive together. People have to wake up, but it's not happening. What was the stat I just read the other day, which is, 46% of people say they're going to vote for the lesser of two evils. So I'm saying to myself, are you freaking crazy? Are you absolutely the stupidest bunch of people that
they are.
God ever created?
They are.
It's true.
Look, if you want to, I mean, if you want evidence of how damned ignorant the populace is, just look at the percentage that turn out to vote in a presidential election.
Right. It's horrible.
Because, I mean, first and foremost, popular vote doesn't elect a damn president.
Right.
And we, you know, I've gone over this 100 times. We had this big fiasco down in Florida that went all the way to the Supreme Court. But they weren't counting electoral votes.
No, they
all
weren't counting.
All the hanging chads and all that crap.
God.
It was a joke.
Yeah, because I think Gore won by the electoral vote. No, he didn't.
No, it was the popular vote that they were counting.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember the chad
electoral
incident.
Vote.
Yeah. I remember the fiasco there, but the electoral
theater.
Yeah,
it's all for show, because the popular vote doesn't elect the damn president. So what's the point?
And you guys were talking about the ignorant masses. Tomorrow is going to be fun because I did some jaywalking and I asked the public questions. You're going to love my little deal.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're going to love it tomorrow, man. And to the other caller, I don't know your name, but...
I'm Joe.
Oh, good, Joe. I thought I recognized your voice. I'm Linda, and we got Bill on here. I'm filling in for Hollis Buchanan because he didn't show up today, and so someone had to open up the studio. And then, of course, Bill from Indiana is here, and he's wonderful. And we were talking about Agenda 21 and all sorts of good stuff. So, yeah, I've got so much to talk about tomorrow. It's really going to be fun. So
What does it have to do with the jaywalking, though? Does your experience in jaywalking somehow add flavor to this?
No. Jaywalking is a term. Jay Leno does that. It's like a man on the street.
Oh.
Where you go interview people and you ask
now
the
I know
pertinent
what you're talking
questions
about.
Yeah.
The stupid people. Yeah.
Well,
you know what? I saw he asked somebody, what's the Bill of Rights? And the guy's going, and then Jay says, you are going to law school, aren't you, sir?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was funny. I didn't record this like with electronics. I just wrote everything down, so I have to kind of I will invest in a camcorder one of these days. That ought to be really a trip, but then I got to figure out.
Oh, that would be funny. You know what? They only cost $50, and you better get them before actually the flip cam that's going out of production. So you better get them while they're still around because everybody's using their cell phones. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
$50, yeah. Probably even less now. And you can use that. You can actually say to people, I'm doing a little mini documentary. How would you like to be on, YouTube with me or something? You know, and I bet you get more people than not, or more people than
that's
you expect
true.
Saying yes. Yeah.
That should be fun.
Which is something which isn't political, but which has struck my fancy for a little bit. You know, talk about getting on TV. You know, you guys have seen The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, right?
Right.
Now, you know, in real life, you're not going to get a dozen chicks competing for one guy. Okay? But all you got to do to say to them is, look, girls, all you have to do is be on TV, make big, gigantic fools out of yourselves, and you'll be on the front page of People. And they go, yeah, can I make a fool of myself, please?
That's true.
You know, I saw with that little video cam, I'm sure flip cam, you can just say, how would you like to be on YouTube, you know.
Hey, Joe. Now I'm looking to take pre-orders for some T-shirts I want to have made up.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Election 2012, America going for broke.
No, for sure. Yeah. Nice double entendre there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like
I mean, you know, it's honest to God, it doesn't matter who gets elected. We're in deep shit.
Yeah, yep. For sure.
Like you called us the other day, Ron, you called us serfs, but at least I'm a radical serf.
Absolutely.
And
we're
going to
threaten the king with a new Magna Carta here soon.
Yep. Whichever king gets in. Yeah. Well, we've got our declaration. Why can't we use it?
Well, I think that's been ruled inadmissible.
Yeah, now we've got Scalia on the wrong side. We've got Roberts on the wrong side. What a bunch of schmucks.
Whatever made you think that Scalia was on the right side?
Well, he's not in my book anymore, that's for sure.
Because other people said so. You know, we get sold this bill of goods about all these conservatives on the Supreme Court.
Right.
You know, I said it back. Matter of fact, the very thing that Joe was talking about in Indiana when they ruled that, you know, you couldn't even resist an illegal
search of your house. That's what it says
in
the ruling. It says that in the ruling.
And you've got Scalia and these guys agreeing with it. That's not conservative.
Nope.
Well, if you...
Sorry.
You can download...
You know, I think that was a ruling...
What? The ruling what?
No, I was going to say, I think the...
Are you still on?
No, I think he got dropped off.
No, he's still here, but I don't know whether it's his microphone, because I didn't touch anything.
I guess he got cut off.
Oh, gosh. And his mic says red, so maybe he's going to try back in a second. We've got about 11 minutes, so we can continue talking.
Okay. He was going to talk about Indiana, and I was going to talk about the ruling. Oh, I forgot. Lost my train of thought. I know he's going to talk about the law, about how people weren't allowed to resist actually illegal entry into their homes. But they offset that fairly quickly. I was thinking about something else, and it just escaped my mind.
Okay.
Damn it. It'll probably come back to me if we talk about something else, Linda, something completely different.
Absolutely. I know. My mind does that, too. Bill, are you still there?
And the other caller dropped, got cut off, too.
Are you still there? I can't get him. You know what's weird? That happens on BTR. I don't know why it does that.
It's the webmaster or the servers. They have lousy electronics. They're BTR on every show. It screws up all the time.
Yeah.
Every time I go to a show, I have to readjust their particular. If you know, when you go to a show and you see the volume button and then you see the play button that's right underneath, right? So I have to always click, 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 like I'm playing around with a telegraph in order to bring back the volume. Because their webmaster or the phone company is doing something that's messing.
Are you there, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. I lost Ron, and it was like something just clicked or something, and everybody...
Well, we're having some pretty bad storms up in here. It's gotten pretty black outside, so I don't know what it's doing down in Georgia. But that whole thing on Indiana there, if you look, Indiana has really put a crunch on the Democrats. I don't know if you know this, but the head of the Democrats there in Indiana, Pat Bauer, was just removed from being the head Democrat by the other Democrats. They are in desperation because Indiana, they're getting crushed.
Well, Indiana seems to be a test state about the New World Order because I know somebody who lives in Indiana, and she was telling me that it's very easy to close up any given town in Indiana by the cops. So, like, if they wanted to keep you inside the town's borders, the cop cars come out, they go around the town, and you're dead.
Well, maybe in the bigger towns and stuff, but the thing is, like, I'm in southern Indiana, which is totally different than northern, and in southern Indiana, there are more people out scattered out through the hills and stuff. And to come into the hills, Linda can tell you, she was just here. It wouldn't be a good deal for anybody.
Well, I hope not. I hope that the people there would think of everybody as the Tennesseans would think of them revenueers.
That's kind of how it is. And then if you had to get out here and chase us through all these hills and the ravines and the valleys of the hills, and you don't know them, and we know them like the back of our hands, you're just leading yourself into a trap.
Yeah, but however, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, there's 100 million guns in the United States, and the guns probably would be the last resort for making sure that a totalitarian government doesn't come down on us. But if there were an actual war between the people and the military, it'd be over in a week, and the military would win.
I don't see that. I don't see that for the simple fact of... You're not going to get all the military to go with that. And when you look at the amount, you're talking, 90 million plus armed. And many of those that are armed are veterans. They know how to fight.
That's true.
And as you weren't here in Indiana, Linda was, and we talked about out of the box. It ain't going to be just guns.
Well, you have to have Molotov cocktails. You have to have make
it
bomb.
It goes beyond that. We're here launching pumpkins 2.5 miles. Let's use an air. We've got guys who adapted nail guns, put barrels on them, like, and hell, they got them on backpacks and can walk around, and this thing will go 15, 20 feet and bury the nail.
Wow. I think we got Ron back.
And we had a kid in Vincennes and bent a disc that it'll cut through like 3 inches of steel in just a few seconds.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, it's an out-of-the-box thing. Well, I think what our government fails to realize is we are pretty ingenuous as a people. And, hell, I don't know how many people I know that actually could build a gun in their own garage.
But the thing is that makeshift armaments would be good, but without organization and without any type of coordination and no helicopters up against SWAT teams, military with Humvees.
No drones. I got to go with Joe on that one. I mean, look, what we watch on television and what we see over in Afghanistan and Iraq and, you know, Vietnam, Bill, we said it before, we were playing war. We were playing political war. If it was an outright, by God, war for winner takes all, you can forget it. I don't think the people stand a chance.
True.
No, we wouldn't. Well, and the thing is that right now, let's say somebody was to declare war against us and they were given their marching orders. They wouldn't do much. But we have to remember the infiltration by the FBI and the CIA to make sure that they're going to foment some sort of animosity towards the military and make them believe that it was the people that did it.
Well,
you know, there's going to be a psyops way before they say go get them. They're going to make the military believe, and I think the military are a lot brighter than the ordinary cop. But the cop, he will take it. I mean, he would just go with it. You say kill the people. He'd just say okay, point me towards the victims, and that's it.
So with the 2021 wanting to depopulate the world anyway, why don't they do it?
Oh, they're probably just getting ready. Everything is in place as far as I'm concerned.
Did you read the latest out of DARPA?
About the rodent drones? I mean, not the rodent drones, the horsefly type drones, the very small.
Oh, no, DARPA. And you got to ask yourself, why in the hell the Pentagon is involved in creating flu vaccines?
Mm-hmm.
10 million. They were able to produce 10 million influenza vaccines in a matter of months.
Mm.
Oh my God!
Yeah, but they had the bird flu, the H1V1, H1N1 a couple of years ago, and that was a failure. But I know where you're alluding where you're going with that, Ron. I happen to agree. If they want to put on a full court press, which means they have enough money to actually influence the minds of people to be able to be willing to become their own victims, that's how that's going to be done. They'll create some sort of false flag. Then they'll be glad to, in the name of safety, in the name of medical science and prevention of disease, they'll go along to get along. And then all you got to do, too, I mean, how many people want food stamps and welfare? You threaten to cut off that little trough? Hey, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to go along with the government.
Yep.
Just to eat.
Yep. I do agree. You know,
that was part of the agenda, was to control the food and control the water so that you can control the people.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we're talking about, it all revolves right back to the same central thing, and that's Agenda 21. Everything is that this administration and the past ones have been doing is all to build up this global agenda for total takeover and control, Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we're fighting all these different fronts, small arms, education, illegal immigration and stuff, we can't come together and focus on the central brain and heart of what it is, which is Agenda 21. If we could do that, well then, we might have a chance.
Well, let me ask you guys, why do you think that hasn't been going along as swimmingly as you would think it might? I have my own answer, which I'll give, but what do you guys think?
Because somebody's not getting the amount they want.
You thought about the somebody, or let's say a faction within the New World Order, isn't getting what they want?
I think there's a lot of infighting.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, same difference. All right. I just think the American people are so fucking stupid that no matter how much information you give them, until they actually feel the pain themselves, they're going to resist the information that they get.
A lot of them, I have to agree with you. There is a difference in this country. And we're right back to, you know, like I've said for, I don't know, several years now, a line I took from the Boondock Saints. We must all fear the evil of bad men, that is true. But we must fear even more the indifference of good men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have, indifference by good men.
Which leads back to stupidity. Because I'm talking about a difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance means, and you don't know the facts. Indifference means you don't care about the facts. You know the facts, don't care about the outcome. That, to me, is the shallow, morally bankrupt individual. And then you got the stupid people, no matter what kind of facts you give them, how you present it to them, how they even agree with you, they don't wake up. So you know what? I just say, go F yourself.
Guys, we got 2 seconds, and they're going to cut me off. And thank you so much, Joe and Ron and Bill and everyone for being here. Rained out.
Everybody have a great night. God
you
bless.
Be blessed.
And we'll keep it up.
Patriot family.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Love you guys.
Thanks for calling in, Joe.
Have a great evening. Take care.